This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking. Is on the radio today. So turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is David Cohn, and it's 3 p.m. The Michael K. Show starts now. Don't screw it up, boys.
Try not to, Coney, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a Monday, March 22nd, 2021, gorgeous day in the tri-state area. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 3.5 hours. The other 20 and a half, that is your responsibility. We certainly have a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of stuff to do, a lot of stuff to break down. Busy weekend, busy time in sports, big March Madness, basketball games in the pros. Kyrie Irving's not going to make the road trip for the Nets for family issues, so he'll miss 3 games. The stories just keep coming fast and furious, and we are here to cover them all. I trust you both had a very good weekend.
Yeah, it was crazy sports and crazy things that were just like gut-wrenching. Like, you know, the Rutgers loss. You know, I didn't go to Rutgers. I'm not, quote-unquote, a fan. But, you know, I live in the area. They're a Jersey team, and I wanted to see them do well. And I know Jerry Recco does their radio. Of course, Carlin, you know, does the football, and he did basketball for so many years. So, and you know, I know Fuch, and I know so many people there. And, you know, and when I heard about the Joe Boylan thing, I don't know if you heard about this, Peter.
Yeah.
You know, he had coached there. He was 82 years old. He does the radio games as an analyst, and he had a stroke on Wednesday, passed the day yesterday or Saturday, you know, and we found out, like, before the game that they lost to Houston and lost so close. They had a lead late and couldn't finish it. Blew an 8-point lead with about 4 minutes to go. But, you know, read up that story because he was a really great guy. I got to meet him a couple of years ago and just a tremendously fun guy and salt of the earth type of guy. So that stunk. And the way the Knicks lost, because I was fully invested in that too, because that was a great second half. And just have it end the way that it did. So there was so many crazy things, and just that's March Madness, like I said, in a nutshell, right?
And I think this March Madness is a little more mad because, you know, as I mentioned on the soft open, I just don't think they got the seedings exactly right because they did not get a good read on all the teams. The teams played odd schedules. There were pauses. They had truncated schedules. Some teams played a lot more games than others, a lot fewer games than others. It was just hard to gauge. So I'm not going to criticize the committee, but I think that although the seedings would tell you there were huge upsets, maybe they were not as big of an upset as you thought. I mean, is Loyola Chicago really properly seeded? I'm not quite sure if they really know what Loyola of Chicago is. And by the way, Fordham, if Loyola of Chicago can continue to make the tournament and go to the Final Four 1 year and go to a Sweet 16 2 years later, it can be done. That's a small Catholic school in Chicago, so it could be done.
Right.
And it's a great story, and I just think that the seedings are a little bit off this year, and that's what made for such a fun weekend.
True, but also names that don't roll off the tongue, right? Abilene Christian, you know, Oral Roberts. These are not teams that we are used to seeing kind of make runs. And so, yeah, I agree with you. I think the seedings maybe are a little convoluted because of the schedule, but you know, these are not teams that consistently go. These are not teams that consistently win. And that's all you do. You haven't yet hello with these things. Let's face it. I'm not the biggest college basketball fan, Michael. I don't have a team like you do with Fordham or the Peter does with Maryland, but yeah, when you get, you can tell me all you want, 15 versus 2. That's enough for me. It's the stories are great when a 14 wins, when a team gets to does something they haven't done since the 40s or 50s. You know, that's cool. That's fun. That's what it's supposed to be about.
Absolutely. There's some games going on that we will continue to update you on. Let's start off with that Nick game. The basic premise of the argument that Nick fans have and what Julius Randle has was that foul should not have been called. Now, he's not saying it wasn't a foul. He's saying that that foul should not be called in that situation, which I would tend to agree with. Now, remember, because of COVID situations, they're working with two officials, not three. That's
right.
Number one. Number two, just because they called the game one way, that doesn't mean an official is going to call it the same way in a situation that could win a game or lose a game. And it seems like they called that tighter than they had called the rest of the game. That's why the Knicks were unfair. But a lot of people are complaining, well, why didn't the officials look at it? Well, I'm sorry. If the officials looked at it, it would have been a foul.
It would have.
It would have been a foul. I mean, he hit him in the back and caused Noel to get the rebound. So Julius Randle fouled him. Now, he might not have been called with a foul 10 minutes before in the game, but at that point, that's a foul. So even if they did get the attention of the officials to look at it and look at the replay, it's still a foul. Would have been a great win for the Knicks. It was a great shot in regulation that Randle sank to get the game tied and get it into overtime. But again, the Knicks against a really debilitated Sixer team that was tired could not pull off that kind of win that they need to kind of take that next step.
Yeah, but, you know, Green was hot down the stretch after not having the greatest of games, but he drained some threes. He drove the basket. They played well defensively, I thought, the Knicks. But, yeah, even after the foul, Michael, they got a look to win the game.
Yep.
You know, and winning it out would have been a great shot. And during our show meeting, Peter, you made a great point that how season-defining do you think that shot would have been if it went down?
Oh, my God. If Randle, who, by the way, deserves a ton of credit for his ability to create his own shot in that situation, I mean, he's sort of in kind of rarefied air for his body type to be able to grab the ball, get up the floor, and create that kind of shot. Yeah, Don, he sinks that. Think about the sort of celebration Knicks fans are having today. You break the streak against the Sixers, which is crazy. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, 15,
geez. It's truly embarrassing, right? And also, the way they played late, stealing the game sort of from the jaws of defeat, it would have been awesome. And he was half an inch from sinking it.
And I'll tell you what, they battle. I mean, we say the same thing about them all the time. They battle. They don't give up. It's a game it would have been nice to win, but unfortunately they right. didn't win. But they're in every single game. They're in every single game.
But think about it. During the All-Star break, these are games that when we play the infamous win-win-loss-loss, win-win-loss game, whatever it's called, those are losses, right?
Yep.
The two against Philadelphia, the game against the Nets, we said, you know, those are going to be losses. And they all could have been wins. And part of the maturation process is learning how to win those games, but even though we're still in that style point stage, guys, we had those games down as losses, and they were right down the final shot to win those games, all of them. The only game, the Bucks. That was the only game that we had it down as a loss and they got blown out. Otherwise, they won the games they were supposed to win. They won the Orlando game. The games they were supposed to, the Oklahoma City game, they won. The two against Philadelphia, the game against the Nets, they're going to lose, and they went right down to the wire. That must mean something.
They
learned from it.
I don't envy the Knicks front office because the trade deadline is Thursday. So what do you do with this team? Do you just ride it the way it is, or do you make a seismic move that makes it a sure thing that they get into the playoffs, but you might have to trade some collateral away? You might have to trade draft picks or a young player that's on the cusp. Do you want to do that? Is it worth it? Because even if you make that trade, you're going to want to have control over the player for a while.
Right.
So, you know, in the case of Victor Oladipo, do you really want to get Victor Oladipo, who could be a free agent at the end of the
no.
year? And then you're going to have to pay him big money to keep him. So I'm not sure what they're going to do. They've got a real tough call here because obviously with the games that you see against the Nets and the two against Sixers, they're right there and they could win some of these games if they had a little more offense from other people. But I'm not sure that I'm going to drain the bank account to buy one of these players. I just don't know if I would.
Now, the callers may disagree, but I make a move to improve this year, but as long as it doesn't come at the expense of the future – and hopefully you can make a deal that improves the team this year and can also improve the team in the future. So getting a free agent, a guy that's going to walk, I don't think I play that game. But if it's somebody that could help me now and in the future, if that's available, then I think I do it.
Yeah, I mean, there are players available. I'm just not sure, you know, what you would give up and if you would give up a lot to get them. I don't think I'd give up a lot for anybody that is quote-unquote available right now. I'm just not sure I would, so... You know, we saw one of the players that they would like to have. The Wizards lost to the Nets yesterday. But then we find out as the Nets head out on a weird West Coast Detroit trip, Kyrie Irving's not going on the trip. He has to deal with family matters. Now, we cannot sit here, okay, and criticize him for not going on this road trip. It would be unfair. We have no idea what the family matters are. I think they're calling it personal issues. But I will tell you this. There are a lot of players in the NBA. Nobody has missed as many games except for Kyrie for these kind of things. I mean, remember when he stepped away during the Capitol riots and now three games to deal with family matter. Everybody in the NBA has a family, and it doesn't seem like it. Maybe Kyrie is very, very involved in the family issues that he has to take care of. But, I mean, that's a blow. I mean, you're already dealing without Kevin Durant, and now you're putting it all in James Harden's lap. And, you know, family comes first, I understand, so we have no idea what this is. But this is the second time this year. The other time it was a long time that he was out. Now they say it's going to miss three games, which happens to coincide with the three-game road trip, and they're going to miss him because this guy can play. This guy's one of the greatest players you'll ever see.
Now, the team had his back last time, and it sounds like they have his back this time. But if you're Harden, how do you feel? You play every single night. Now, guys get hurt. You understand that. But how does Harden feel when Kyrie's not available for different issues here or there? I'm sure things come up for Harden every once in a while, and yet he never misses any time. So is he cool with that? Does he like the freedom of being the star on the team? Or does he look at it and go, God, I play every day. I'm able to find my way through some of the problems in life and still come out and give you 48 minutes every night.
You know, I think it's not unlike, Don, when Michael is gone and you run the show. Your preference, though Michael might not believe it, is for Michael to be here and everyone follows accordingly. But when Michael's gone, there is some fun for you for getting to run the show. I think that's precisely how James Harden feels. Especially, the difference is, you came from Michael, you were basically just a piece of furniture that Michael ignored. James Harden is coming from being the man his entire career. So I highly doubt Harden feels very much of a way about this.
Well, I don't think that he feels like overwhelmed by it, but you know, he's kind of doing it alone. Now the Nets have good players, don't get me wrong. But you know, they're not equal to Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, so it's a blow, but you know, they won again. I think they've won 15 of the last 17 games.
By the way, can I point out one funny thing, Michael?
Please.
Now, listen, I know he didn't do anything last night, so I'm not going to sit here and start doing my victory lap, but I do find it funny. Do you guys remember I probably made this argument two or three times that Blake Griffin might be a different guy now than he has been previously?
Could be. And then
he wasn't good last. He didn't do anything special, but he did dunk all of a sudden for the first time in 2 years.
Right.
It happened in his first game.
Which is smart, but rather than keep that narrative going that he's not able to dunk, well, here is Blake Griffin talking about that dunk.
I felt great. I knew, you know, once it happened, it was going to be a thing. And so I tried not to look at the bench when I was coming back down, but then I kind of peeked over and I saw DeAndre all the way out on the side and I saw everybody standing up. So, you know, it's hard not to smile in that situation. Felt good to just get that out of the way.
I thought Frank Isola on the Yes postgame show brought up a really great point about this. This guy was a high flyer when he was with the Clippers. He played a different game. He played above the rim. So you're automatically going to say, well, he can't be near the player that he was. Well, Frank gave a perfect example. Larry Johnson, remember when Larry Johnson with the Hornets was grandmama?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, high-flying dunks? Well, then his back went out. So rather than just become a terrible player, he reinvented himself as a low-post guy with spin moves and things like that. Blake Griffin's a smart player. He's going to really help this team. Now, the only problem is, can they play him a lot of minutes because the knees are fragile? He's had a couple of procedures on the knees. So maybe he doesn't have the lift that he wants to have, but that doesn't mean he can't be an effective player. He's smart. He knows how to box out. He knows angles and things like that. He's got players like James Harden that could get him the ball near the basket. I think it was a really smart, forward-thinking move by the Nets. I think a lot of teams would have liked to have taken a shot with him, so we'll see. I think he's going to help. He is definitely going to help. Now, since we're talking about the NBA, sad news, Elgin Baylor, who really is one of the greatest players who ever lived, passed away today at the age of 86. I believe he was an 11-time All-Star, 10-time All-Pro, just an amazing, amazing player, Played above the rim when a lot of the NBA didn't play above the rim. Kind of the forerunner, you'd say, to a Dr. J. He was an amazing player. You look at his numbers when he was at the Lakers, just, amazing. There's no other word to describe what Elgin Baylor was. He was to the NBA what they did not have up to that point. He just did magical things above the rim. And, a sad, sad bit of news. Dies at the age of 86 today.
Yep. Reinvented the game when you think about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely did.
He's one of the best athletes of all time that I've basically never seen play. I mean, I've barely seen him play at all. I kind of feel ashamed.
You should be. Well, you. YouTube is available for that.
That is right.
Also, birthday wishes go out today. William Shatner is 90.
Nice.
90.
Wow, I can't believe he's 90.
The force is with him, man.
Man, I still remember, although I guess that's the wrong thing that you just said.
Yeah, it's...
You should probably backtrack a little bit. Because that's Star Wars, and he's Star Trek. So the force is not with him.
Maybe it is with him. Well, what did Spock say? Live long and prosper. That was the
better
line.
There you go.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
There you go.
If you're a little more invested than zero.
Yep.
You might have been able to come up with that yourself.
Michael, also in entertainment, big deal over the weekend. A lot of people want to get your take on this. The versus battle went down between Ghostface and Raekwon. I wanted to get your take.
Well, why is this an argument? Ghostface wins, hands down. Hands down, he won. Yeah.
Really?
Come on.
I didn't know you dialed in.
Oh, I was so dialed in.
Wow, that's big. To hear Michael Kay, voice of the New York Yankees, go with Ghostface. I did not expect this.
How could you not? You disagree?
No, I mean, listen, I had it as a draw. But
oh,
I have
gutless.
I hear you. So I have no argument with Ghostface. I love them both.
Am I supposed to know what any of this means?
Yes,
well,
you should.
Considering you know the words to a Wu-Tang song, and this is two prominent members of Wu-Tang, Don, I could actually scream fraud right in your face.
Like what I like. I and that was a long time ago in my life. I don't let go of things, but I also sometimes don't follow through. I don't want people to think that, you know, I'm this sick Wu-Tang fan. I liked that one album back when I was in college.
And that was it.
And, yep. Yeah, there's a few songs that I like. Some of them I can repeat. Most of them I can't.
Well, the Versus is a thing that Swizz Beatz and Timbaland created during this was so smart. During COVID, when everyone was stuck in the house, they started getting artists together. Over at first just on Instagram Live, and now they're in person, and they have these two artists of a similar space. In this case, it's Ghostface and Raekwon. They're like brothers, and they basically do a 20 song battle, song for song. And it was on this. They now sold it to this company Triller, a social media service, for millions and millions of dollars. And they did it this weekend. It was pretty awesome.
You know what else is awesome? Drop Madness. Drop Madness continues today, so keep it right here on 98.7 ESPN in the 4 o'clock hour when we announce the matchups. And be ready to cast votes for each one at TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Drop Madness is presented by Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. All right, right now, this Hoops update is brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Again, Wendy's, we got you. So let's take a look at what's going on right now in college basketball. Let me get you the latest scores, because that's what you deserve. All right.
There's only one final so far today.
One final. Oregon beat Iowa 95-80, so a 7 beats a 2 seed. Gonzaga, the number one seed in the entire bracket, is leading Oklahoma 40-30, so a 1 versus an 8. That's about 3:12 remaining in the first half. So
yeah,
one
it's starting
final,
to get away.
That's the game. Yeah, it's getting away. So Gonzaga leading at 40-30, and we'll give you the other scores as they become available. We will also talk with Rick Pitino about his Iona Gales' valiant effort over the weekend. They couldn't get it done, lost to a better team. But I thought they acquitted themselves quite nicely, so we'll talk to Pitino about that. 1-800-919-3776 is the number. Don and Peter getting ready. Wednesday, they make their Yankee broadcast debut. I know they might be a little nervous, but at 1 o'clock on YES, Yankees against the Blue Jays, Don and Peter will get it done. I got a text at about 10 in the morning today, Don, from Peter. Do we know the starters yet for Wednesday? That's how locked in he is.
Well, I mean, that's also a very
no. By the way, that's
a dangerous question.
And for the record, Don, before he makes me sound foolish.
No, I didn't mean to make you.
Well,
sound foolish.
I said when will we know the starters for Wednesday? That was the question, Don.
We'll
that's a fair
know
question.
Wednesday.
Not until Wednesday morning.
Probably know it Wednesday morning. So get ready.
But I was following because they played yesterday, so you get a little bit of a feel. They got a couple of games coming up here, so you'll get a sense. It looks like they went with what their opening day roster would be, Michael, in the game yesterday.
Yeah, and tonight they're playing the Phillies, and other than Luke Voit being out, this could be their opening day lineup because Jay Bruce is playing first base. They have a couple days to make a decision on Jay Bruce, so we'll see exactly what happens. One of the big players on the Blue Jays that was expected to help them take the next step, Kirby Yates, who's going to be their closer, he has suffered a flexor issue, a flexor pronator strain. So he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. He's supposed to be their closer. So that's a big blow for the Blue Jays. So they will be on at 1 tonight. There's a Yankee game at 6:30, and I will be doing it with John Sterling, part two of our reunion tour. So that's going to be fun. So we got a lot there on the table for you. Hope you take part in it. 1-800-919-3776. We'll get to your phone calls. Mike Tannenbaum on at 4 o'clock, so Don could tell him right to his face what he said on the air on Friday. I think it's going to get ugly.
Do you think I'd hesitate with that? I have no issue with that. I don't think you'll have an issue with it.
I don't think you'll hesitate, but I just said it's going to be awkward.
No.
It's going to be awkward for the listeners. It's like, you know, seeing two cars head toward each other. You know they're going to crash. It's awkward.
No, it's entertaining. What's awkward is me dodging it and saying it didn't happen. What are you talking about? I love you. That's awkward. It was even written
Peter
about,
doing
so
that.
It's out there.
Yeah, I'm sure Mike knows about it. I'm sure he's fully armed.
My guy Bob wrote about it.
Hold on. There's a storyline developing. Bob wrote positively about you again?
Yeah,
no.
2 weeks in a row.
I don't know if it was positive. He just wrote accurately that I called what Mike Tannenbaum had to say about the drafting of Wilson
Don, accurately is a big step for him.
Well said, Michael.
Earn me a shot this Sunday. Yeah. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Your phone call's next. 1-800-919-3776. K, LeGreco, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so listen, everybody. On March 24th, that's this Wednesday, Yes Network will have us call at least two innings of action when the Yankees play the Blue Jays in an afternoon spring training game from Steinbrenner Field in Tampa. Now, to make this all possible, all of you, our loyal 98.7 ESPN listeners, have helped raise over $30,000 to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. That's three wishes, everybody. So thank you to all of our listeners for making this happen. To find out how you could help, go to bit.ly/kspringtraining. 30,000, everybody.
Great
we can't
job
thank you
by,
enough.
By our listeners. Tremendous job. Hey, I'm so looking forward to this. I don't know how you feel about it, Peter. This is going to be so much fun.
Well, I started getting in the zone yesterday because I was, you know, when I do the WWE kickoff shows, I prepare and it's live TV for an hour, and I do a lot of the sort of big hot takes or whatever. I have a lot to do. And so I have a lot of nerves for that. Then it ends, and I was like, oh, wait, now I got to start digging into all this research. And I got pretty excited. I got to tell you, Michael, is there a lot of excitement around the Blue Jays sort of coming of age and like these kids, all these second generation players sort of potentially becoming big stars?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're you know, that's everybody's like chic, you know, good odds pick. I still don't think they have enough pitching.
No.
But their lineup, their lineup will match up with anybody.
You know, just, you know, doing the work. They
doing
were
the work. I love it.
They were pretty much in the top 10 of every offensive category. They are just really, really good.
So are you more nervous for this, Don, than you are for a Ranger game?
Well, I mean, here's here's where the nervousness comes in, all right? It's completely foreign to me, you know, from a prep standpoint, like how it's going to go. You said you give me a half inning. You know, it's not like it's going to be the top of the first.
The first inning is Ryan Rucco and Paul O'Neill.
Right. So, right. You know, when I do a hockey game, like I've done it for over 10 years, so I kind of know the prep.
Hold on. Let's be real. Don, you don't get nervous for Ranger games anymore. No, you might be excited.
I mean, I get excited for them.
Right. I'm not saying you're not hyped.
From a prep standpoint, I know exactly what I'm looking to find, but, you know, this will be the first baseball game I've done since college. And it's not even really doing it off the monitor, Michael, because it's going to sound silly, but you know how many games I did as a kid off the TV? Like, I did that all the time. But, you know, it's preparing for an exhibition game. You know, and what to be ready for, you know, and not know, you know, I don't know what inning I'm going to do, so it's not like I'll know who's good at the first batter up. Like you said, the prep's a little different because I don't know what they're going to bring to the table on Wednesday in an exhibition game. So you're kind of preparing for every eventuality, right? So, that's a lot of work to do. So, and I've never had to do this kind of extent, so I don't really know what direction to go. Like preparing for a Ranger game, Peter, I know exactly what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff, I'm kind of preparing for every eventuality.
I think he's nervous. I can hear it in his voice. And
I hear excitement.
Fine.
I hear excitement.
I hear nerves. I think it has a chance to be great, but also has a chance to violently go off the rails.
Why would you say that when you know I'd be in a fetal position if that were to happen?
Why would you be in a fetal position? You're still the voice of the Rangers.
Because this is something we asked for. Now, I never asked for the play-by-play. And if you're in the right mood, and I get it, I'm going to be very appreciative. But I want to nail this, man. Listen, I've done Jet games. I've done Ranger games. I did college basketball games for MSG.
This will be my
first baseball game that's not like in my tighty-whities in the living room after my parents went to bed. Some Mariner-Yankee game at like 11:30 at night when, you know, Tom Pachorik was up. You know, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, you're more than welcome to do it, you know, in your tighty-whities. Nobody's going to see, you know, you below the waist.
Yeah, I think you're missing the point of the whole, like, what
am
I was...
Am I missing the point, Peter?
No, I see what you're saying. Now, do you think, Michael, that... Two things. One... I want to know what violently going off the rails would look like. I'm very curious. And number two, Michael, how about this? You're not going to give me a half inning of play-by-play. That's fine.
No, can't.
That's fine. Maybe I'll work for that for next year. But if you give Don, tell me if you think this is fair. If you give Don the play-by-play, I think you should allow me to slide into second position and you sort of take a distant third.
No, I don't think that's going to happen, but
wow.
Good try.
No, violently off the rails is like what happened to that kid in that Charger Bronco game a few years ago on the second game of the doubleheader where you're pulling the plug.
Mm-hmm.
Where Flip calls and says, "Michael, take back over the play-by-play. This is the disaster."
Or you know, for some reason you curse on the air.
When does that ever happen?
I said violently off the rails. That doesn't happen very often.
There's been times I'm screaming at people, and a swear word didn't come out. Me doing my first ever television play-by-play, that's when something's going to slip out?
You never know.
See, you know, we're now very close to the territory, Peter, where I'm starting to think he's rooting for it. Why would he even bring it up? Like, you're telling me that right now you're concerned that off the rails is on the table.
Of course.
Like when you're talking about, like in Royal Tenenbaums, when Luke Wilson's playing tennis and he takes off his shoes and one sock. Is that what you mean?
I never saw the movie.
Don, you get the reference, don't you?
No, that's one of those movies I did not see. Oh, so is this like
Don,
Albert Brooks
back.
In broadcast news?
Yes, you start to sweat profusely during the on camera. You stutter, you drop the mic, something like that. Your broadcasting career could take a hit if you
Why
mess up.
Would somebody
this
that
is like
claims
hundreds
to
of
be,
thousands of people that are going to be watching.
That claims to be a friend. Throw these possibilities out there, but then put them in my head. Like, I wasn't even thinking that could happen to me.
Now I'm thinking,
am I going to have flop sweat when we do the stand-up? Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it.
Cranked up.
No, all you're doing is giving me more initiative to just nail this. Thank you.
That's all of our hope.
Do you think that for our stand-up, I need to, like, rearrange where I am and, like, put a globe behind me and try to find some sort of awards or diploma or something?
Yeah, that would take a long time, so I don't know.
Well, listen, we're talking about a broadcast that has David Cohn from his kitchen. Peter, don't get nuts.
You know what? I appreciate you really making this thing, putting it in perspective for me.
You've got your have you got the jacket and tie picked out?
Well, I have options galore.
By the way, your guy sent me two more sport coats. I mean, in a word, they're stunning.
What did I tell you? I want you to look good.
Oh, my goodness, are they beautiful. These are being saved for regular season games.
Don, I need to try to set you up with a time when he can drop it off. He's a jersey guy, too. I got to try to see if I can get one handed off to you. Now,
yeah,
if it was Michael, he'd say he's not willing to meet the person. He'd spit on him like a lowlife.
No, but no. I would meet him through the door. He'd have to drop it out. Thank you. Thanks.
So, Don, we'll work it out. I'll text you after the show.
I haven't even thought about the wardrobe because I figure whatever I choose will be fine.
Well,
yeah. Well, you really
seen,
going
you've
into
seen my
a
Ranger
clear mind,
outfits. They're
you?
Nice.
You're really going into it with a clear mind.
No, you're filling my mind with a bunch of negativity. You've seen me before a Ranger game.
Right.
And the looks are always fine, right?
Yeah, but this is the Yankees.
Don, real quick. We have nothing to lose, okay?
Well, that's why he's making it so.
When I did my first WrestleMania gig, I had been dreaming of this opportunity forever. So that when they tell me, oh, we're going to do a thing with you where you walk out and you walk down the ramp and you're doing a whole stand-up while walking down the huge ramp at the stadium in WrestleMania, that was terrifying because I'd been waiting for this. But if I completely freeze up and start spitting on the air and just fall over, it doesn't matter. They're still going to welcome me back here the next day.
Yeah. Okay. 1-800-919-3776. That's the number. So it's Wednesday at 105, and tonight at 6:30, I'm doing the second gig of the reunion tour with John Sterling, and Meredith Marakovich will join us as well. So it'll be the Yankees against the Phillies. I got my lineups all mapped out. I'm ready. Ready. Don, don't be nervous. You're going to be really good.
Thank you.
Anyway, we'll come back. We'll take some phone calls. 1-800-919-3776. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Our very own GM here at ESPN, Mike Tannenbaum. Let's get to the problem that Don had with something that you said. You had said that you would draft Zach Wilson with the number two pick because teams want to pick quarterbacks that they have a hard time defending against. Here was Don's reaction to that.
Where the hell's he going with that?
Don't give me all the gobbledygook of coaches draft players that are hard to defend. Hell, they draft quarterbacks who they think are going to be good.
Well, I've been called a lot of things, but gobbledygook's a new one, so that I can add that to the long list.
I didn't call you gobbledygook. What you said was gobbledygook.
You may call it gobbledygook. I'll just call it facts.
Hold on.
Wow.
Whoa.
The Michael K. Show.
Is that more gobbledygook?
On 98.7 ESPN.
You know, I've given this a lot of thought, and this is going to cause a little bit of friction. But great. I think that Tannenbaum clearly won that battle. I thought that Tannenbaum came armed, had good information, knew what he was talking about, and I think he took Don down.
Thank you.
Well, I saw a few people tweeting, Michael, saying, hey, Don, how are your hamstrings feeling? Nice backpedal.
Well, how did I backpedal? We argued, and now it's over. He believes that I don't. End of story. I don't know how one applies to the other. So
Listen, I'm just reporting, Don, on what some are saying.
They obviously didn't add me because I did not get that from anybody.
I didn't see it either, Don. I think Peter's lying.
Yeah, I did not make that up. He said nice hamstrings. He said nice back pedal. Your hamstrings must be pretty tired after that.
I don't think I backpedaled. Well, Michael's entitled to his opinion as well.
No, you didn't backpedal. I think that he had better facts. I think he really...
It's not about... I mean, I don't think he lied. I mean, those are his facts. I just don't know how they apply to drafting Wilson, because when you go back to that 2018 draft, Allen was taken fourth overall. And then all of a sudden, he becomes this unstoppable force. Why? Because he was drafted by the right team, and he's got weapons around him, and he's grown. And I don't think Sam Darnold was drafted by the right team. I don't think he's been coached properly and hasn't had weapons. So I don't know how that applies to trying to figure out who you want to go forward with when we don't know what Wilson's going to be in the NFL. And I don't know if we've really seen the best of Sam Darnold while he's been in the NFL. And three other general managers picked quarterbacks ahead of Josh Allen because in college, and he had to admit that his stats weren't right in college and that Allen ended up being the aberration. He admitted that because his stats in college – obviously did not make him look like somebody that you should have taken first overall in the draft. Now he's played in the NFL, and now he is. So that can happen. And now you're guessing that Wilson is going to be taken and the Jets should take him because he's difficult to stop? Well, you draft the best quarterback. And if you draft the best quarterback, then everybody's going to think he's going to be difficult to stop. But how are you supposed to find that out?
But I think that most of the NFL believes that mobile quarterbacks are the way to go.
All right.
I mean, the Cardinals, like, they drafted a guy in the first round, and they drafted another guy in the very next year because he was a mobile quarterback that fit into what Kingsbury wanted to do. I think everybody wants that sort of quarterback.
Well, but then you say that. I would rather have Wilson because I think he's more athletic, and I think he's more mobile than Sam Darnold. But then and I just brought up the Bill Parcells because Bill Parcells is one of the guys he uses as an example of always wanting to draft a guy that's difficult to stop. And Bill's on record saying that he would rather have Sam than Wilson. So it's not a question of him lying. He obviously believes what he is saying. I just don't think how that applies to why you take Wilson. Just you think Wilson's better, period.
Well, that I buy that. I mean, you take the better quarterback, not the style of play. But in his mind, he probably thinks the reason he's better is because he can run.
Right, and that was my only argument. Then say that I think he's more athletic and I can do more with an athletic quarterback. And I don't disagree with that because – hey, listen, Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time, and he's a pocket quarterback. But when you see the way this game is going, now my offensive line doesn't have to be the best offensive line if I've got a mobile quarterback, right? I don't want it to be god-awful, but now it doesn't have to be the best because I can buy some more time. That clearly is the direction the sport seems to be going. But, you know, Sam's not Eli Manning either. I mean, he's not stuck. He can make some moves. He can do some things. His biggest play, Peter, this year showed his athleticism in that game on national television against Denver.
He's not exactly
nailed to the pocket either.
I believe, though, the most applicable thing that Mike said, all kidding aside, with the talk with Don, I Steve Young said it, Tannenbaum said it. I'm a distant third, obviously, not even in the same league, but you've got to be able to elevate the people around you. I haven't seen that with Sam. I've seen that sometimes with Daniel. I've not seen that with Sam.
Well,
now, you can say he had a bad coach for 2 years. Oh, okay, fine. But you still got to elevate. He didn't elevate the people around him. He just didn't.
Are they elevatable?
Everybody's elevatable to another level. I mean, the mistakes that he made should not be a reflection of the talent around him. Throwing across his body and getting picked off, that doesn't matter who you're throwing to.
Well, he definitely is guilty of trying too hard because I do think he wants to try to make every play happen. And sometimes the best thing to do is just throw it into the ground or give up the play rather than trying to make something that's not there. But it's a deadly combination to have bad coaching and bad talent around you. And I'm anxious to see how that may change in the right place. So we'll see. But we're also basing Wilson off of one good year at BYU.
Right.
I mean, listen, we're not having this conversation if it's Trevor Lawrence, right? I mean, I don't think anybody would be even hesitant at all to take him, number one. But now you get to Wilson, and it's 1 year at let's face it, it's not a big-time school that's playing, like, big-time talent every week. So there's going to be some questions going in here as far as what kind of talent he could be. So it's not a no-brainer, and it's the second overall pick. we're keeping Sam. You get to keep the second overall pick and then get him some weapons, possibly trading down and getting even more draft capital, or maybe getting the best tight end that's, you know, come out of the draft since Mike Ditka in Pitts. So they've got options, Michael. They do. And as long as Denver's still there, I still think they have a trade partner. Because what's Denver going to do? Who's their quarterback this year?
It's a tough call. Because you've always said that Elway likes him. Elway's kind of stepped away from the decision-making. I mean, he's still kind of the president, but he brought in a GM.
Right.
So but we'll see if the GM likes him.
But I don't know. Is that the motivation? And is that the motivation too, Michael? If you're done with Sam and you want Wilson, should you let not getting a first round pick be the reason why you keep Sam? Of course not. You've got to go out and get the player you think's the best player. And if Wilson, right. You think Wilson's the best player, then you draft him, and then you figure Sam out later, right? If you're on the fence about Sam, or if you think Sam's the guy, but maybe Wilson's a little better, then maybe your options are different. But if Joe Douglas thinks Sam is just not that good, then why in God's name wouldn't you take Wilson number two?
And we'll see on April 29th. Jets just announced that Marcus May has signed his one-year tender. So he's officially a Jet. Now they'll see if they could work out a long-term deal. This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Now, the Giants spent a lot of money on Kenny Golladay, $18 million a year. And with incentives, it could get up to $19 million a year. So it's a four-year, $72 million deal, and $40 million guaranteed. It's a lot of money. But he is an outstanding wide receiver. So I look at the Giants, and I haven't run this past Don or Peter yet.
Okay.
You look at their skill position players. Forget about their offensive line. And I know that's a big thing to forget about. The tight ends they brought in, Golladay, Slayton, Shepard,
Saquon,
Evan Ingram. Tell me that there's 8 better skill position sets in football than them.
8 better?
8. Tell me there's 8 better. I mean, okay, the Kansas City Chiefs, that's one.
Tampa's pretty good.
Rams are pretty good.
Yep.
Now, 8, listen, they're in the top 10.
I mean, they're weird. Right. I mean, that skill position group is on fire. If Saquon comes back healthy, there aren't many teams better than them. Now, the big variable is the quarterback. Because if Daniel Jones is nothing special, then you're not going to be able to utilize those players the right way anyway. But just in terms of guys that can break open games and really make defensive coordinators sweat on a Saturday night before a Sunday game, the Giants now have that group of players, I think.
I'll tell you this, though. I hate to be this guy, but, you know, I'm glad to be this guy. I don't know from a receiving standpoint if they surpass Washington. I Terry McLaurin and the kid and Curtis Samuel are really good. And Logan Thomas, in my opinion, was better than Ingram last year and caught the football. So I don't know whether they've elevated to some different level in the division.
Okay, now, where's your Saquon, though?
There is no Saquon. So that the difference is going to be, and this always comes down to everything Don says, let's see how big a factor Saquon will be on a team that has weapons.
Right, and Washington, well, what about Dallas? They got some weapons there, too.
Dallas is good, too.
You know, so yeah, I mean, to me, it's all about, we can talk about where, let's just say for sake of argument, they've got the 7th most talent in the NFL. But if 2 of the teams ahead of you are in your own division, then what good is that, right? Even with the extra playoff spot, still, it's tough. And right now, where Prescott is and with his weapons, and quite frankly, where Fitzpatrick is and those weapons, you know, I don't know if the Giants' offense is that much better than those two. Now,
in terms of depth, the Giants have more offensive weapons than the football team.
When you add Saquon, obviously Saquon's better than Antonio Gibson.
The wide receivers, right. The tight ends are really deep. They've got a lot of tight ends.
By the way, I think McLaurin and Golladay are scratch. McLaurin's younger, hasn't been hurt yet. had over 1,000 yards last year, almost 1,000 the year before, and he's in year three.
Yeah, but what about touchdowns? Like Mike said, Galladay led the league in touchdowns the year before last with 11.
It's impressive.
So that
is there a world in which this division is not that bad this year?
No, listen, let's look at why it was bad. All right? Washington's quarterback situation was in disarray. All right?
To say the least. Yeah. They had a broken
The Cowboys, man. Clearly they lost their quarterback, and I'll take the hit. I thought I wanted McCarthy for the Jets and the Giants when they were looking for coaches. That was a mess. Their coaching situation was a mess. All right? The Giants lost Daniel Jones, too, for a time. You know, so if everybody's healthy, and clearly by bringing Prescott back and what Washington did and what the Giants have done, the winner of that division is not going to be under 500 again, okay? Now, I don't think it's going to be 13-3 either, but it's going to take 10, 11 wins, I think, to win this division this year. I do. And but you, Michael, ignoring the offensive line for your point, we did that, but then in the general analysis, like moving the Empire State Building, that offensive line has to be better.
And I think that these players actually make them better. You don't have to protect as long. You could play action because of Saquon. There's things you could do. I think it will be better just from another year together. Some of them are young players, so I think that will certainly help. But, no, that's a weakness. And I think, you know, the defense has some questions too. So I don't think the Giants are going to go, you know, strolling into the playoffs next year, but
no.
I can't tell you, other than the fact that I absolutely love their skill position players. When's the last time we said that about the Giants or the Jets?
And I like their offensive coaching. I like where they are, and if they give Daniel Jones protection, doesn't have to be the best offensive line in football, but if they give him protection, I really can't see, you know, week 10 – barring injury, saying, well, I'll give Daniel Jones a break. He doesn't have this or that. No, stop. You got to show me something. This is not Sam Darnold entering his third year when we're trying to talk up, you know, Hogan as an acquisition during the offseason. Peter, there's no excuses for Daniel Jones this year, barring just a catastrophe at the offensive line.
That is exactly what I was going to say. If for some reason they take a huge step backwards, which wouldn't make sense with where Thomas is going, if they take a huge step backwards the offensive line, then we say, okay, we don't know. But barring that, this is not going to be a Darnold situation. We are going to know by the end of next year who Daniel Jones is.
Also, in that division, reading that Joe Flacco is meeting with the Eagles today to be their backup quarterback.
Andrew, you know what?
That's not bad. I mean, there's so many question marks around Jalen Hurts. Joe Flacco played well for the Jets last year. With all the bad skill position players that bring down Sam, Joe Flacco put up, what, 6 touchdowns?
He had one good game.
Okay. How many did Sam have?
Not many.
All right,
I was going to say the Denver game, but he got hurt.
2022 March drop madness.
Hey, that's a good veteran quarterback to help a young kid out, right? That's what Flacco is.
That guy could
now
be in the league another 5 years backing up if he plays like he did last year for the Jets.
Man, there's money in that. What was it, 2 years ago? Josh McCown got $10 million for holding a clipboard?
Yeah, it was pretty much setting fire to money. I even said it at the time.
I'll tell you what, they missed
him. Oh,
he
was an extra coach for Sam. How'd it work out?
Well, it worked out pretty good. They probably wish they had him this year.
Because
he got no coaching.
Well, even though he got coaching, was he that great that year? $10 million for backup quarterback was crazy.
Well, he had that was the mono. He missed three. That was a mess. His first year with Gase was a mess. Because the first month of the season was gone. He played with mono against Buffalo on opening day and then missed the next 3 games.
I give Don credit, Peter. You weren't here the whole time. Don was this guy for Eli, and he turned out to be right. Don defended Eli when everybody was turning on. Don is so doubling down on Sam, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Well, I'll say this. I won't go as far as Don, but I will say I was very disappointed that Washington went for Fitzpatrick and not Sam.
Well, we don't even know if the Jets are trading Sam.
Come on.
We have no idea. Because you know what?
They're answering the phone. They made that clear.
But if they take the tight end Pitts, right, with the number 2 pick, and they gamble on Sam, and Sam wets the bed again, Well, they're going to be awful again, and they have two first-round draft picks next year, and they'll get your quarterback next year if you're not totally head-over-heels, full-bloom love with Wilson. Fair?
Right.
So they can stay with Sam for this year and get a transcendent tight end who just ran, by the way, in his pro day, I read a 4.640 for tight end.
Hey, we're going to find out. It all comes out in the wash, you know? This stuff never gets forgotten. Believe me, in social media, I'm looking at my tweets now, by the way, I defend Sam. Yeah, I'm not going to – I can't hide from it. You know what I said. You'll remember. You guys can't remember the take out the garbage, but remember when I screw something up.
That's right.
Freezing cold takes will be on it. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to hide. I'll be right here. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And if I'm right, I'm right. But I'm doubling down. This is what I believe.
And you know when there's something Don believes, Michael,
he never stops.
No, he'll beat you into
like a
submission.
Battering ram. He'll just keep the horns into your head.
So
over until you give up.
Can I just ask a question?
Go ahead.
So nothing I do involves skill. Like I can't be a skillful arguer. I just beat the same point to death and just wear you out.
No, not always.
I'm like,
no, we're not saying you're
not
skillful.
I'm not a boxer, I'm a fighter. That's what you're saying. Tyson.
Here's what you become.
There's no science here. He just beats
the
hell out of you.
You're very scientific when you go into the ring, right? But you do not deviate from that plan. After you get in the ring, you become Ernie Shavers. You just keep throwing hooks. You're trying to knock people out. It's the Ron Lyle, Ernie Shavers bout. I mean, go watch that on YouTube.
Wait a minute. Here's the problem with your analogy.
What's that?
Is that I am not coming up with any kind of strategy to win an argument. This is what I believe.
I get it.
So I don't know why would I have to, if I start changing and finessing it, well, then I must not really believe in the overall point.
No. I'm not saying you're wrong. I am saying that when you make a decision after you go through all your carefully crafted information that you have and say, all right, this is what I believe. There is no way a nuclear blast would not move you off your point.
But isn't that what
you're like? You could
to
you could
about?
Say you love a quarterback, right? And I could go, by the way, Don, I don't know if you realize it, he got his leg cut off last week. You'd still say he's better than everybody else.
That's not true. Did I not just admit that Mike McCarthy would have been a disaster?
Yes. Well, that because now
I didn't make a bunch of excuses.
Made.
Well, he lost Prescott, and you know I'm not a fan of Jerry Jones and all. No, I said, listen, that was wrong. They were miserably coached last year, and that would have been a disaster for the Jets and the Giants to hire him. And at the time, I'm like, why wouldn't you hire him? The guy went to the playoffs 9 out of 13 years in Green Bay, won a Super Bowl, ended up being wrong, dead wrong. So
dead wrong.
I admit it. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I don't think I've been proven wrong yet, have I?
No, not absolutely not. When we come back. I think there might be problems in Andrew's house. We'll talk about it. 1-800-919-3776.
Yes.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO has been perfecting both for over 75 years.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so this to me was somewhat concerning. I was so locked in to the Syracuse West Virginia game yesterday. I've kind of like adopted Syracuse as the team that I'm going to root for. I mean, I know Boeheim going back to my years covering college basketball. Andrew's so invested because he's a Syracuse alum. By the way, somebody has to tell Bob Huggins the mask is not a chin strap. Never had it over his nose or his mouth, but that's another point for another day. So at the end of the game, I didn't text like I normally did because I'm learning lessons. Don says I need to learn from my past mistakes. Don't aggravate people. This means a lot to them. I didn't say, Andrew, nervous, anything like that. Right after the game's over, I say, congratulations. What an awesome game. Nothing. So I figure we get nothing because he's probably flooded with text because everybody, he's got his Syracuse buddies, who he sleeps in the same room with when they go, you know, on
We've
a road
heard about
trip.
That, yeah.
Yeah, they all spoon. It's fine. I get a text 2.5 hours later. Thanks, it was great. And I'm going, I'm sorry, did I ruin it for you? He goes, no. I put my phone away and watched it, on the DVR. So I asked him this earlier, Andrew, why wouldn't you watch a game that you have much more invested in Syracuse than Philadelphia Eagles, Phillies, Sixers. Why wouldn't you watch that live?
Because the 5:15 tip time is just the absolute worst with a five-year-old and a one-year-old. It lines up directly with dinner, bath, bed. And instead of kind of like half watching, half sort of helping, I figured, you know what? I've done it before. I've DVR'd big games many times. It can be done. You just have to be committed. You got to put the phone in another room, not even look about it, think about it, keep the TV off. And then when everything's ready to go, you watch the game and it's great. You fast forward commercials and it was as though I was watching it live.
But here's my point. So you can't enjoy all your friends on the thread.
Yeah.
Talking about everything that's going on. Buddy Boeheim didn't have a great first half. He has a really good second half.
I mean, more than out-of-this-world second half.
I mean, an out-of-this-world game, back and forth. I mean, nail-biting.
So you're right. That's the drawback. And when I got my phone after the game ended, I literally had 263 missed text messages. And so, yes, that's the part of it that I hate, that I can't interact with my friends and dad and family when it's going on. But I'm willing, in certain situations, I'm willing to take that trade to be able to kind of just watch the game and not have to deal with the other stuff.
So let me pay off the tease here. So I think there could be problems in the household, okay? And Don said, you know, you don't understand. Well, I do understand. And, you know, when I'm home during the winter, I try to go upstairs every single day, get the kids ready for bed, blah, blah, blah. But on a special day like that, doesn't your wife have to say, Andrew, listen, I know this means a lot to you. You just go and do it.
So I'm going to – Andrew, do you mind if I jump in here on your behalf?
Go ahead, sure.
So I have a lot of feelings on this.
Please.
As the last, basically, person in my friend group who is still without children, I have gone through this many times. I've went through the pregnancies, the births, the children are young, you can't do anything. In some cases, it seems like no matter how old the kids get, they can't do anything. And I have some friends who are able to have these boundaries, and they have days where they watch what they want. And I have some that if they are not around for bedtime, it's as if the parent was sick, I don't know what would happen. The children would just stay up all night and destroy the house. I say all of that to say that in Andrew's case, right, some of those friends, Michael, there's a word for how I would describe them. Mm-hmm. I'll just say this. It's a word. It's a way that mashed potatoes are made.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
In the case of Andrew and Amanda, that is not the case.
How do you know?
Because Amanda would give Andrew, I believe, carte blanche to do what he needs to do. Andrew is just so ridiculously kind and polite, almost to a fault, that even if it wasn't necessarily Amanda and the kids, he does not like putting people out, ever.
But now let me stop you for 1 second. I have two children, okay? Although it's difficult to put them to sleep, it's not exactly pulling cable, okay? You put the pajamas on, they go into bed, you put them to sleep. For that one day, Amanda has to turn to Andrew and go, Andrew, I mean, they met each other in Syracuse. I know this means a lot to you. I'm putting the kids to sleep. The fact that she didn't say that to me is problematic.
Right. Now I'm going to step in as somebody that gets it.
Oh, I don't get
it. Clearly Michael does not, okay? I don't know whether it's – I don't know what you did with your kids. Maybe you have angels. I don't know. But
no,
Syracuse has another game. So
they might not have.
Well, you know what? You're right, but they have another game. And then there's going to be a Sixer game. And then there's going to be an Eagle game
soon.
No,
the same.
No,
thing.
Not
Philly's
like
opening
the
day.
No,
the point
stop.
Is you got to pick your spots, okay? That's number one.
This is the spot to pick.
This
is the spot.
If you are someone that's going to come on this air and say that all it is putting pajamas on and putting them in the bed, then you know what? Then you got to explain to me why you're the greatest father on the face of the earth. Because I put my kids' pajamas on. I bring them into the crib. It's daddy high five. Daddy high five. I give daddy. Daddy goes gives a high five. Daddy, I want a big high five. I got to go back in to get big high five. Then Jalen, all of a sudden, she wants a third blanket on. And then I go leave the room. No, but, now she just wants two. Daddy, make the music on.
But
Daddy,
don't have
the nightlight on. Daddy, come here. I want to play with Batman.
But can you do it
it's
for one day?
It's not just putting the kid
can
down.
Can you do it for one day? Well, that's all I'm saying.
No, because one day becomes two becomes a dozen.
Oh, no. See, that I can't buy that. This is a special game for Syracuse. If he has to watch the second game of the Eagles season, that's not the same.
Right,
opening day for the Phillies, not the same.
But
Andrew
again,
loves Syracuse.
He missed the game. It's not 1972.
But he did miss.
Right?
He missed the joy of the game. He missed the joy of interacting
with
his father.
It was a mild sacrifice. And let's be honest, because this is where Andrew's a nice guy. All right? I don't know how he enjoys the text threat. To me, it would just be irritating.
There's some truth in that, too. There are moments when I will get a little bit of – when people just start kind of saying, like, oh, yes, after a shot, it's like, okay, I get it.
Good.
Like, we're all
I'm
happy.
Good.
So there are
that's
moments
all you sacrificed.
Like that.
Andrew, that's all you sacrificed. Otherwise, we live in the 21st century. We have DVRs. We can pause. We can fast forward through commercials. We can do all that. So it's not that big of a sacrifice.
And hold on.
I do appreciate what all of you guys are saying on my behalf, and even Michael, who's kind of, in a weird way, also speaking on my behalf. So I appreciate all of it. A couple things. First of all, Michael, I do think – I'm not being critical. I do think you're forgetting a little bit that Luke, my youngest, is 1.5, and he's out of control. He is relentless in a way that Jack, my 5-year-old, never was. He's an animal. So you're right. It's not hard labor, Beth, and bedtime and all that, but it's also not quite – it's not simple. It's not that either. And for you to say it's only one night, that is true in this case. However – you know, I don't get home till after 8 o'clock every night during the week. So Amanda, it's not really just one night; it's every single night. And she, I think, kind of appreciates the weekend because it's kind of her moment to be like, another person. Fine, thank God.
That's
so
a great point.
And in fairness to her, she was willing to. You know, Sunday night is like we started this tradition of doing our family dinners. We think it's important for Jack and even
you're like
Luke,
the Sopranos.
No, but we think it's nice to at least because I'm never home during the week, so it's
you
nice.
Have gabagool.
We've not had the gobble ghoul. So that is the thing that we're trying to do on Sundays. And Amanda said, we can do it in front of the TV if you want. I said, no, it's fine. I've done it before.
See,
I'll
that's
put the phone away.
That's my problem.
And
with you.
And this is where Peter is right. I was willing to do this too. It wasn't Amanda saying absolutely not. There was no restrictions put in place. If I had wanted to, I could have. But you know, I was willing to not. And so it's not just her, it's also me. And maybe that I don't know, makes me whatever you said about mashed potatoes.
Sad.
I don't think it is.
I am worried for you kids.
Let's be honest, too. It's not bad being with your family. It's not awful. It's not a chore. Sometimes I enjoy it. Be able to sit down at the table and be able to catch up with my wife and be able to catch up with the kids.
Well, who doesn't like that?
I don't know.
I love to do it, but I mean.
It seemed like he made the supreme sacrifice.
This wasn't about sitting down. This was putting them to bed. It was not about dining.
No, it's bed,
no,
bath,
it was the whole
and beyond.
5:15. That is the entire, like the most grueling parts of having a 1-year-old and a 5-year-old take place between 5:15 and 8 o'clock. That's the win. And I will say this also. Amanda said, usually on the weekends, I handle reading to Jack and all that stuff. She said, you know what? I'll do that stuff tonight so you can get a beat on the game. You can start it a little bit sooner. So, you know, everything was fine. Like, this was not, I don't think anybody felt put off in any way.
Can you do me a favor,
Andrew?
You know
what this is? This is not an arranged marriage. This is actually the definition of a marriage.
I could be sitting here. My kids go to bed. Much later than Andrew's, okay? So I'm sitting here watching the end of the Knick game, and it's time for them to go to bed, and I'm getting ready to go up, and I would tape the end of it. It's a Knick game that means nothing. Jody said, don't you have to watch that? I said, yeah. She goes, stay. I'll put him to sleep. That's a marriage, okay? Andrew, when we're off the air, I want you to give me Amanda Sell. I have to talk to you.
God, what a father, Peter. That game ended after 11.
This wasn't last night's Knick game. I'm saying a Knick game that starts... Yeah,
like
no,
last
it wasn't.
Night, the kids are going to 11 on a school night, man. It's party time.
No,
it's
my excellent. Kids on Fridays and Saturdays, no exaggeration, we fail tremendously. They go to bed after me and Jody. 1 in the morning, 1:30, it's unbelievable.
No, it's hard. Because, yeah. Yeah.
They're lighting up blunts down here. It's amazing.
They're
wow.
Night owls. My kids, yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a brief time out because we have Rick Pitino coming on. Ricky P of the Iona Gales. His team lost in the first round, but you know what? They actually handled themselves quite well, and they were in it for 30 minutes of the game. So Pitino coming on, and then ENN after that. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.